Hello and welcome everyone to today's Legendary Leadership Radio Show. I am Rebecca Mattias, Intuitive Business and Success Coach, and this is a show, a weekly show, where women in business from all over the globe gather each week to come together and get accountability and guidance to get more done in a feminine way. And you truly are the pioneers that are leading the way on a new path of getting it done like a woman, where you get success, accomplishment, increased self-confidence, and project completion. It's your time to take a stand and step into your own greater levels of success and accomplishment. And I am super excited to be here with you today because it is a special day. It is Third Tuesday. And for those of you who have been on our radio show in months past, you know that Third Tuesday is special guest day. So I will be going and diving into that soon. So I started this weekly show to support you, to motivate you, and to coach you on what actions and mindset you need in order to create the success you deserve so you can live your best life, inspiring and empowering others. Now, these shows are a way for me to give back, and they speak most near and dear to my passion of supporting and empowering women making a difference in the world through their business. You can learn more about working with me at RebeccaMattias.com and join our Legendary Leadership Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Legendary Leadership, where all of our archives to previous radio shows are found. And our intro music is called Be the Change by award-winning singer-songwriter Bob Sima. You can find out more about Bob and his music at BobSima.com. So welcome to the call today, talking about empowering women making a difference through the world in their business. Our very own guest today, Jen Crompton, is quite that woman indeed. And so we will be talking about how to connect with your tribe to get more business. And Jen Crompton is CEO of Something Creative, a marketing agency in Philadelphia, and is an independent writer, blogger, reporting on business, technology, big data, cloud computing, mobile analytics, sports, and tech, and anything else innovation-related. Now, don't worry, we will be explaining some of those for those of you on the line who say, I have never heard of those sorts of things. Jen contributes to blogs maintained by companies such as SAP, Dell, Acquient, and syndicates content to Yahoo, B2B Community, and other sites. When she's not writing or blogging, she can be caught teaching at Philadelphia University, planning marketing strategies, presenting at conferences around the world, and inspiring entrepreneurs to kick butt or working on her fitness. Now, do you need any other reason to love her? Welcome, Jen, to the show here today. Let me just unmute your line so that you can speak to all of our people.
Hi, Rebecca, and hi, everyone.
Hi.
I am very honored to be here today, so thank you very much for asking me to be a part of this.
My pleasure. We are just so delighted to have you. This is one of my favorite radio shows of the month when we have our guests on, and I was just so delighted when I asked you to come on that you said yes. So I am so excited to be here with you and dive into today's content, which is one of my most favorite topics, which is how to connect with your tribe, because I really believe that we live in a current day business model where old business models are breaking down and the new business model is really about connecting and building relationships. And I know that's something you're passionate about too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there are so many different ways that we can connect, and there's so many different things that we overlook, things that we think are just so simple that we don't really put the effort into, or things that, on the flip side, we think are so complicated that we just get overwhelmed and decide that we don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So help us understand a couple of the things that I was going through in your bio. Just for some people, I think, you know, even as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, we're not always up to date. And it seems like every time I talk with you about anything, you know, and we meet out or we went to the spa recently, you're just right on the cutting edge of all of these big breakthroughs that the business world is having. So help us to understand a little bit more about what it is that you do for companies and also for individuals.
Sure. I think that what should I say, my lack of attention sometimes can play to my benefit because I'm always looking for the next big thing. I'm always trying to figure out what companies are doing and what's old news and what's new news. And I've just come up with a knack for kind of identifying what is going to happen and how businesses are going to be leveraging different technologies or different themes to make their businesses more successful. So what I do with larger businesses is I do a lot of content creation, which is everything from ebooks to blog posts to anything else that they need content-wise. But the key to content is that it has to be really good. So we're inundated with a ton of content, blog posts, you know, Facebook updates, all the time. We see lots and lots of content. The goal is to find out what content people need to know, what makes them tick, and what is going to make them take an action. So my job is to identify those themes and things that people want to know and then deliver it to them and give them value in the content that we provide. So it could be, you know, talking about new business innovations and ways that entrepreneurs can leverage cloud technologies, something that sounds very complicated. My job is to break it down and make it very simple and help people understand what is cloud technology and how can it make your business even better. So that's what I do for businesses and, you know, with entrepreneurs, you know, helping them understand that some of these technologies aren't as complicated as they think, but also, you know, understanding that your business is only as good as the relationships that you have. So it goes back to what Reverend Run told us, you know, your net worth is your network. So you can't have any worth in your business if you have no one to be a part of your business.
Totally. I absolutely agree with that. That's so true. So help us to see, like, what are you seeing, you know, here we are at the end of 2013, like, what kinds of themes are you seeing emerge for 2014, and how can they help our listeners connect on a different way, in a different way or in a deeper way or expand their network with who they're already connected with, to deepen the relationships with who they're already connected with and also to expand their network? So what themes are you seeing?
I would say that there's kind of, I can kind of lump them into three different categories. And one of them is using your networks. So talking about like social media, so using your online networks. The second one would be like traditional media, so going back to some of those traditional ways of getting attention for your business and your services and products. And then the third way is offline options. So things that we don't always think about, but they can, you know, they can be small things that can make a big impact. So to kind of go back, the professional and personal networks, so using your networks the best way you can. The way to kind of explain this is we think about all of our online outlets, any profile that you have, LinkedIn, social media, Twitter, whatever those profiles are, we often just kind of put stuff out there. We don't really think about a personal social media strategy, and we really should have one because these online depictions of ourselves, you know, our online profiles are really sometimes the first interaction that businesses have with us. So we want to make good first impression. Yeah, I mean, they might find you through a search, and so you pop up. What are they seeing? You know, and the best way to do that is to kind of step outside yourself or, you know, do an audit with a friend and say, hey, when you look at my profile, what's the first thing you see? And if it's, you know, your LinkedIn profile, it should be very professional and you should keep it that way. But the hairy one is where you get into Facebook and Twitter and you're not really sure what's personal, what's private, what needs to be public. And my advice is always consider everything professional. What do you want people to know? Because you have no idea who's actually seeing your stuff. And you may intend it to be personal and private, but keep in mind that anything you put on the internet is never personal or private. So whether it be NSA spying on us or, you know, someone else who's trying to stalk you out and trying to find you, you know, those are not, there's nothing that's private. So it really is, what is the image that you want to put out there on those networks? What do you want people to know about you? Do you want them to know that you're a family person? You know, if that's who you authentically are, then be proud of putting that out there. And don't be afraid to mix in business with pleasure. So, you know, putting business posts out there, telling people what you do as a business is just as important as getting new business. You can't get new business if people don't know what you do. So, you can really take those networks that you've already built and you can leverage them. But, you know, the rules are be authentic, so be true to yourself, be true to your image. So don't put out a false persona online that doesn't translate to your in-person persona. So if I met you, I'd want to feel the same feelings that I feel when I see your online profile. So it's be authentic. And the other thing is don't inundate people. So don't bug them. The rule of thumb is, if someone else posted this, would this annoy me? And if it would, don't post it because it will.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to be cognizant as to what you're putting out there and if people care. You know, that's usually what I think. When I go to post something, I go, who cares? Does anyone care? Sometimes the answer is no, and I post it anyway. But sometimes the answer is yes, and I feel like, okay, great. I'm using my social media outlets to provide value, to do something.
Absolutely.
And then the traditional media, you know, traditional media is thinking back to what are the types of media outlets that people are still involved in. Things like radio and TV shouldn't be overlooked. You can make a good impression by going on a TV segment, and you can make a good impression by being on a radio interview or a podcast, you know, to be more 2014 focused. These outlets are still great for reaching an audience, but the difference is now it's more segmented and targeted. So you have to figure out which outlet is going to be best for you. So rather than, you know, looking at the media as there's five big radio stations, now there's all these mini substations. There's all of these podcasts that are very specific. They could be tech focused. They could be product focused. You know, there's a guy that does a really popular podcast out in San Diego, and his is all about consumer products and consumer problems. So he has a consumer talk about a problem and then has an expert solve the problem. So that's very targeted. You could write a pitch to him and get on that radio show if you are a specific expert in an area. And then you're going to reach a targeted audience that actually cares about your message. So traditional media still exists. It's still very effective. Just the approach is a little bit different. And then,
interesting.
Yeah, and then the last thing that I would say, you know, within those buckets is that offline. So that is all those little things that you can do. And the rule of thumb is just be a good person, because the more good you put out there, the more good comes back. And it feels good to be a good person. So, you know, sending someone a simple gift or, you know, sending them an article that you think might change their mentality about something. Those are all small ways of creating relationships, whether it be professional or personal relationships. But that can just help your relationships. And I'll tell you a quick story is, you know, people want to do business with people they like. So there is a delicate balance of, you know, being who you are and telling people what you do. But generally, like, and this is a true story that's happened to me a couple years ago, where I met someone, had a great conversation with him, and it was all about kind of business-related stuff. And then he said, you know what, I have no idea what you do, but I'd want to work with you. And I was like, really?
Wow.
That's a great compliment, you know? And then we got to talking, and it turns out that he did actually need some of my services, and I did some content for him. But it all came back to creating a relationship where it was a conversation that was thought-provoking, and I was able to kind of, you know, balance my business knowledge with creating a relationship, and, you know, it worked out to my advantage. So those are the kind of three basic things that I see as, you know, ways to make better connections in the new year, ways to reach out to your existing networks, and, you know, just making sure that you're getting full use of what you already have. You know, you already have, probably most people have a social media presence. You don't have to go out and create a brand new account and do something crazy. Just stick to the social media that you're good at, that you enjoy doing, and just do it really well.
Okay, great, because that was one of my questions was, like, you know, there's so much coming at us in this day and age. It's like, how do we keep up with it all? And, you know, I personally, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and then when Pinterest came out, you know, I kind of checked it out a little bit, but never really got super into it, and I think you have to draw the line at some point. So it's like, do what resonates with you is what I'm hearing you say, and then really focus your energy and attention there.
Yeah, absolutely, because if you're not focused on what is relevant for you, then you're not going to be good at it. So if you hate
mm-hmm.
Twitter and you're like, I don't know how to tweet, well, you can learn, and if you still hate it, then maybe you don't do it. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're at a point that you feel like you should hire someone else to do it for you, then hire someone else who's good at it, who's not going to hate it. You know, but you should always see what they're posting and understand and make sure that it is directly related to, you know, who you are and the image that you want to get out there. So, you know, you don't have to always run to the next big thing. It's just
mm-hmm.
be where there's three things. Be where you want to be. So be where
mm-hmm.
it feels good to you. And then be where your audience is. So you need to know where your audience is. So be where they are. And then
mm-hmm.
the other thing is be where your competitors are. So if your competitors are using Facebook, it might make sense to explore using Facebook. So if you can kind of balance all three of those, where you want to be, where your audience is, and where your competitors are, then you can just hone down on a couple outlets that you think are going to make a big impact.
Mm-hmm. And what would you suggest for our listeners to identify where their audience is?
Sure. So that kind of comes down to where's your competitors? Because your competitors probably know where the audience is, you know, just as much as you may or may not know. So what I usually do is a combination of looking for where are my competitors. If they are in, you know, say for instance, I'm a business and all my competitors are on Yelp. Well, I want to make sure that I'm going to be showing up on Yelp. And if I look at my competitors' profiles and I see that there's a lot of reviews, then chances are my audience is also there. If I was on Facebook and I wanted to create a Facebook page, again, I might look at my competitors and see where they are and say, okay, they all have Facebook pages, but if no one's engaging with them and it looks like the pages are kind of, you know, crickets whistling in the background, then maybe it's not worth it to waste my time. But, you know, on the flip side, maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe no one's at your competitors' pages, but you might be able to be there. So it really is like I said, a balancing act, and it's a little bit of trial and error. You give it a
mm-hmm.
shot. You see what you can do. You try to gain the audience and engage. And if it just seems like it's not working out for you, then maybe you just kind of cut ties with that particular outlet. So, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all for everyone. Every business is going to be just a little bit different based on what you have to offer and what your audience wants. But another simple way is to survey your audience. Find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have people that are coming in, if you have a brick-and-mortar and people are coming through your store and you say, hey, are you on Facebook or Twitter? Which one do you use the most? Just
mm-hmm.
asking that question a few times is going to give you probably a pretty good cross-section of answers, so that way you can figure out exactly where they might be.
Awesome. So you say that tech is the key, you know, it's the key in branding and marketing today for either personal or business gain, and that the average mobile phone user looks at his or her phone 150 times per day. That is an astonishing statistic to me. It's not that I don't believe it by any stretch of the imagination. I certainly do. And it is an example, as you say, of how reliant we are on tech. So if tech is the key for branding and marketing today, can you give us maybe five top success tips for really solidifying your branding and getting it out there more and having your brand be known in the marketplace as unique versus sort of, you know, having that competition, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes when I say this to people, I say this to businesses, you know, you need to be considering mobile, and they get very uncomfortable because they're not quite sure what that really means. And the way that is easiest to explain it is for me to say to them, okay, you have a smartphone. What do you do on your phone? They're like, you know, I send text messages, I check my emails, I'm on social media. Okay, great. Do you do any research? Yes, you know, I use search, or I go to mobile websites when I need information. Okay, great. Those are all the places that you need to be considering then, because if that's what you're using, that's what other people are also using. So
mm-hmm.
using mobile as touch points is what's key. And understanding, again, which outlets are going to be best for you. So if we kind of broke it down and we thought about it, we could say, you know, number one is email. Every smartphone has an email client on it. If you want to send personalized emails or you want to send email blasts, the key is paying attention to make sure that when someone looks at it on their mobile device, it looks awesome. So not necessarily, you know, always looking great on just the desktop, but does it look good on a mobile device? Does it look good? Is it easy to read? If you're using, you know, certain clients that are going to be sending out information, so, for instance, if I use, like, MailChimp, I want to make sure that my email is mobile optimized because chances are most people that see my email are going to be on a mobile device, and I want to make sure that it makes the same impact that I thought it was going to make when I looked at my pretty screen and I sent it out as an email. The other part of that is text messaging, and I'm not saying send out bulk text messages to just, you know, send them, but a way to do it is, you know, if you have a product or service and you're offering discounts, you have to get people to opt in, so you can't spam them and send them I mean, you can, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, it's not going to do good business for you.
Yeah, right? That could be pretty quick for you to go down the tubes on that one, but what you want to do is you want to get people to opt in, and then you want to give them value. So, you know, a simple thing could be, you know, if I had a service-based business, but I had people who were really interested in, say I did a daily quote, and it was a motivational daily quote, and I might set up an email that, or I'm sorry, a text message that goes out every day with a motivational quote to the people who have opted in, who every day want my quote to come directly to them via text message.
And is there an automated way to do that?
There is, yes. So there are plenty of different services that will offer you the opportunity to do that. And I'll tell you that now, because technology has advanced, they're much more affordable. They used to not really be affordable. Now they're affordable. So you can work with a mobile SMS provider who will run a campaign for you. And a lot of it is kiosk type, you know, go in and you have your own service, so you can do it yourself. They basically set it up for you, and then they train you, and you can go in and you can set it so that way it happens automatically, which does add time to your day, but it takes away costs of hiring someone to do it for you completely. So
And how does that work for as far as conversion rates go then? Are you seeing that converts into paying clients? Because that's always been my thing.
Yeah, so say we take that same example of providing like an inspirational quote in the morning. You can add a link to that. So you might add a link that goes to, you know, a sign-up or a special, something that's happening at the time, or a package that has a better price than what you normally have. So it's a, you know, holiday package. As long as when they tap that link, it goes to a mobile-optimized page on your website. So as long as it looks good on mobile, that can absolutely lead to a conversion. And most people are going to click on the link if you tell them what they're clicking for, because if not, then they think that it's spam and they don't want to click on it. So, you know, maybe I do an inspirational quote and I say, by the way, we're having a holiday special. Check out our packages for, and I put a price in there so it's, you know, no surprises. And I click on it, I find more information about the package. Now you can see how many people were interested. And for you, for market research, was that price point enticing? Or, you know, did a lot of people go to that link, but then they didn't sign up? What was the problem? Maybe my message wasn't clear. So there's a lot of different things you could do through the SMS service, but you do, like I said, want to make sure that people have opted in and that you're providing some sort of value.
Absolutely. Well, how does that translate for, you know, the industry, the entrepreneurial industry? I mean, most people are collecting email addresses for the most part, not necessarily cell phone numbers. So how would one go ahead if they wanted to implement this in their business and begin doing that from having email addresses? Would they then perhaps send out some kind of an email saying to their list, like, hey, you know, sign up for these daily texts, inspirational quotes kind of thing? How do we kind of take the leap from where technology has been into the new realms of technology? Because everything is going mobile, and I think that most business owners, if they're not on board with that, are going to find themselves lagging behind in the very near future.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the first thing to think of is where does my audience want to interact with me? So if you're a business that want to translate well into a text message campaign, don't use text messaging. Maybe you send that email campaign and you invite them to Instagram because your business is more visual and you need people to be engaging with you there. But so say, for instance, you want them to you know, kind of stay away from email as much and maybe go toward, you know, text messages or a social media outlet or something like that, absolutely sending a one-message-focused email is the way to go. And asking people to join you in those spaces, but don't forget to tell them what they're going to get if they do join you in those spaces. So if you tell them that, you know, join our, you know, sign up for text messages to receive inspirational quotes and, you know, you could even make it like a club or a membership. You know, join this and join our text message club, or that's boring, but something more exciting than that, where we're going to send you inspirational quotes every morning, and you're going to receive our exclusive offers, you know, throughout the year, four exclusive offers throughout the year. The more specific you can be about setting expectations as to what they will get, the more relevant your responses are going to be, and the less likely you are to disappoint someone, because you, you know, you also have to stay true to your expectations. So if you tell them we're going to send four offers a year, don't send them 12 offers a year because maybe they don't want that. You know, you guaranteed four and you said you're going to get one text message a month. Okay, great. Send me five text messages a month. I'm gone. You know, maybe even send me two and I'm going to ask you, you know, you said one. So, you have to be true to the expectations that you put out there. But sending messages to the contact information you already have is the way to get them to, you know, slowly move on to another outlet, some other way that you want to interact with them.
Okay, awesome. And then what suggestions would you have? You know, another big thing in this industry, too, is building your tribe, increasing the amount of people that you are reaching, and also being specific enough in your messaging so that you are attracting the right tribe. So a lot of people will get all in a huff sometimes because people are unsubscribing to their list, but oftentimes when you're rebranding or you've gotten more specific about who you are and what you do, that's to be expected, or perhaps there's been a gap in your communication consistency and that sort of thing. So you know, I just wanted to let our listeners know, like, it's not to start freaking out when you have people unsubscribing. It's actually something to get happy about, because it means probably that, number one, that person wasn't your tribe to begin with, and you just got more specific about exactly what it is that you are getting known for in the marketplace. But when it comes to growing your tribe, what do you think is the fastest way to grow your actual tribe and to add more people onto your list, essentially like list building?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, let them go. You know, if they want to go, let them go. You don't have to get all bent out of shape about it. Like you said, it's not always about quantity. It's about quality. So one of the things that I would say is doing some sort of, and this is just a specific example, but if you can use your imagination and translate that into your business and how this might work for you, this is just a simple idea. So I did last year, and if, you know, if my business was very focused on, say my business was very focused on inspirational messages, and that is something that, you know, is important to me and something that may lead down the road to, you know, authoring a book and stuff like that. So as I'm trying to test out this concept and say that I want to be seen as someone who is a positive force, I decided to launch a campaign, 30 Days to Happiness. And so for every day, I posted a quote that was something that you could do to make yourself happy, you know, laugh a little more today, or, you know, do something good for a stranger. Those are 30 different things that you can do that can lead to a happier lifestyle. I did the campaign simply to, you know, provide inspiration, but also I would be attracting, you know, people who followed it, people who got involved, who followed the hashtag, who, because this was on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, people who liked my post, they found me in other places and started to follow me in other places, because I was attracting them with a value proposition and giving them messages because we became a like-minded group of people. So I kind of found, you know, those people within my tribe who were interested in what I was interested in by launching that sort of simple campaign. So the moral of the story is, you know, what do your people care about, and how can you relate to them? How can you give them value? You know, there has to be a simple way that you can make their day better, their week, their hour, something like that, that you can get them involved with you. So what I started to do, what I did with that campaign too, was to get other people to tell me what's something that you did that made you happier. You know, and this was a simple information exchange. You know, we weren't exchanging goods or services, but it did get them interested in what I had to do, and my ultimate goal was to get them to read some of the stuff that I was writing. So from that standpoint, that was a successful type of campaign. So, you know, it's putting out there what you want to get back, I guess, in the simplest terms possible.
Absolutely. So, and then, you know, you talk about focusing on your networks and figuring out how to reach them. The traditional media could be an option. You know, we touched on that a little bit. And then can you speak to us a little bit about the traditional media? I mean, we had Natalie Michal on back in May, and she shared with us a little bit about pitching to the media and that sort of thing. So, you know, this is a great opportunity. It can also bring you some credibility and celebrity. What would be the first step that you would suggest for someone that wants to build their credibility and grow their tribe? Would you suggest using traditional media, or would you suggest something else?
It all depends, and it depends on what they need. So I'm going to tell you one more benefit to traditional media is confidence. It builds personal confidence in you. So if you make it into traditional media, you know, we're still of that mentality that if you were quoted in the New York Times, everyone that's listening and anyone who ever listens to this would probably be excited. That's an exciting thing. That builds confidence. That's let you know that you are credible, that people take you seriously, that you're a thought leader or an expert, whatever it may be. Traditional media is still good for building confidence. It's also good for, you know, building up your resume and saying, I was a contributor here, and I was on this show, and, you know, I was quoted in this space. So it is a little harder to break into that media. So what I would say is maybe, you know, it's starting out with your social media presence, and you're getting the people closest to you to kind of reinforce you and to give you credibility. So if you are on LinkedIn and you have a great profile and you start to add links to maybe things that you've written or places you've been quoted or whatever it may be, that's like your resume that the media is going to look at. So it's kind of like, you know, the chicken or the egg. You have to do a little bit of both. Sometimes on your social media profiles, you think you don't have anything because you haven't been in the media. And when you reach out to the media, they want to look at your social media profiles. So it's kind of a little bit of both. Sometimes if you start out with your own social media presence and you start making your own YouTube videos and stuff like that, it becomes much easier when you do pitch the media. And if you're looking to be on television, they might look at your YouTube clips and say, oh, you know what? They have a great presence in front of the camera. We should definitely put them on the show. And then once you are on the show, taking those clips and putting them back on your social media accounts. So now people say, oh, she was doing her own YouTube videos, but now she was on, you know, Good Morning America. Great. Now we know that she's credible and that she knows what she's talking about. Or just looks like she knows what she's talking about. That's okay, too.
So true. Absolutely.
But,
so
you know,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just don't be afraid either. You know, the worst that can happen when you reach out to the media, you want to be relevant, you want to be targeted, you want to make sure that your pitch is good, but the worst that they can do is just say no. And then you go, okay. And you
Right. And it's not necessarily that it's the person. It might just be timing or topics that they're looking to present to their audience at that time. So it is
Absolutely.
About consistency and building a relationship, too, with the people at the station.
Yeah, and even if you can get in touch with people in the media in any way possible, you know, go to networking events where they happen to be or connect to them on Facebook, or, you know, honestly, the best way is to give them someone else that can be on their show. So if you, mm-hmm. you know, see someone, you're like, oh, my God, I saw a segment the other day. You would be perfect. You should reach out to this person, or I'll make an introduction, or, you know, you send it directly to the anchor who might be covering a story that's similar. That builds a relationship. And basically what I'm telling you is that you're giving value to someone before you ever ask them to give you anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So about this time in the show is when we usually open it up for folks to raise their hand and ask a question. If you're on the phone line, that can be done by pressing star 2. And if you are on the webcast, you can go ahead and type your question right into that Q&A box there, and we'll be able to see your questions coming in over here on our end. So, again, if you are on the phone line, you would be pressing star 2 to raise your hand. And if you are on the webcast, you would just go ahead and type your question right into the Q&A section there. And, you know, sometimes our guests are quiet, Jen, so we can sometimes just keep on moving on here as well. And I do have another question for you, too, while we're waiting for people to kind of get in the queue if they do have questions.
Sure.
What would you say, how do people really set their brand apart from the rest? Number one, you talk about identifying your unique message, which is certainly part of your brand. And so what's the first step in really clarifying your unique message and then getting it out there in the marketplace to brand yourself and set yourself apart from the rest of the competition out there?
You know, I think a lot of it goes back to figuring yourself out. And I would say that, you know, this is usually something that doesn't happen super quickly. It generally takes some time, some soul searching, some mm-hmm. business focus to really figure out what you want to do. And a quick story for you is, you know, for everyone that's listening, is when I first started out in the business, I started out strictly as, you know, someone who was a social media consultant, because that's what the industry needed. That was where mm-hmm. my business was going to make me money. That was what I was going to do. As I was in social media and being a social media consultant, I started to find my passions and what excited me and what didn't seem like work. And I kind of transitioned myself. You know, I worked with entrepreneurs and worked with different organizations to work with entrepreneurs, which was exciting for me. That was exciting. It was more than just social media. It was business planning and marketing strategies and all that stuff that made me really excited. And as I continued to grow my business, I realized that content was really what I was passionate about, was writing great stuff. And it took me a long time to figure out where I wanted to be with my business and how to brand my business and how to be, you know, a technology and marketing expert and contributor. And once I kind of found it, it just kind of clicked for me. And I just said, okay, this is what I want to be looked at. This is how I want people to see me as a professional. And then it was getting everything else in order. So making sure that my social media accounts reflected that, and that I had my pitch ready when I talked to people, you know, and they said, what do you do? And I could answer that question. Because you'll notice that's the easiest way to figure out if you know what you want to do and where you're going, is what is the answer that you say to people when they ask you, what do you do? How do you answer that question? And if it's hard, then you're not focused, and you have to take a step back and figure out how to get focused. And if you say 20 things, then you're not focused, because you can't possibly focus on 20 things at one time. And that was my biggest challenge, and oftentimes for entrepreneurs, we try to be everything to everyone because we don't want to miss an opportunity. But again, once we find, okay, my brand is this, this is who I am, this is the type of client I want, this is the type of business I want to pick up, then it makes it much easier. You can be more streamlined. And I always say that, you know, get your message out there in a creative way, but make it creative based on who you are. So if you're not a funny person, don't try to be funny. Don't try to be funny with your message. But if you are, then use that to your advantage, because the bottom line is that no one is you. So no one else can be your business. You're the only one.
Well, and can you touch on real quick, we have a question coming in here, but real quick, I would love to hear you just touch on, as far as like an elevator pitch kind of thing goes. So when people say, what do you do? One thing for me personally, I know over the years is, I don't exactly want to say the same thing every time, so it sounds completely contrived. Like, I've been to networking meetings, and, you know, there's a couple of people in the crowd where they'll stand up and they'll say the same thing, and it's like, yeah, I heard that at the last networking meeting. And so is there a way to be more organic and authentic without repeating verbatim this little elevator pitch so that you can engage the people that you've already connected with versus like, oh, my gosh, here's Sally Sue goes again, you know?
Right.
Is there any suggestion you have for that?
You know, I would say, and I know I just kind of said if you're not funny, don't be funny or don't try to be funny, but adding some sort of, you know, humor or a quote or a one-liner in there is always something that's helpful. So, you know, I always tell people when they're like, you know, what do you do? And if it's like in a very informal situation, I might be like, well, what do I do or what do I wish I did? Because if I told you what I wish I did, I would be a country singer. But I can't sing it out. What I actually do is, you know, and then I tell them what I do as a business. Sometimes, you know, like.
And
I
that
said,
helps you to stand out and be remembered as well.
Exactly. Because they're like, oh, that's the girl that wanted to be a country star. They probably forgot what I actually did, but they might remember me. Or they might say, oh, she wanted to be a country star, but she actually, you know, is a writer and a blogger. Okay, I get it now. You know, now I remember. Or, you know, people throw a one-liner in there, or you answer with an indirect, like, for instance, I used to, when people would be like, well, what do you do? And I'd be like, oh, I'm my own boss. And that's how I would kind of answer that question. And then they would say, well, how are you your own boss? Oh, you want to know what my business does? I'll tell you, you know. But just kind of throwing something else in there or, you know, telling a quick little story that is quick. I mean quick, 10-second story or less. That can kind of help you stand out sometimes and make it, you know, a little more organic, a little more fun, and not just, hi, I am Jen Crompton. This is what I do.
Right, absolutely. So we have a caller that is calling in with a question, and then we also have a question on the webcast. So just to get in the queue, everybody that's on the phone line can press *2 to raise your hand to get in our queue. And then if you're on the webcast, you can just type your question right into the box there. And so we'll go ahead and take this call from phone number ending in 0553. You're on the line. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, Rebecca. This is Jennifer. And I have a question,
Jennifer,
that is very specific to me. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. I actually am just starting out in the business, and I'm trying to bring in some funds to get some coaching. And I designed a program. I used to be a hairdresser for about 15 years, so that's what I knew. So I want to go around into salons to do a confident building updo workshop. So I designed some flyers, and I wanted to take it around to local salons and do the workshops January, February, and March of this 2014. And it's actually snowing tonight. Every time I make, you know, I keep making a time to go, I'm getting either snowed in, or I am home now with my kids, so during the day I'm with them. And do you feel that it's okay just to send out emails, like that would be enough just to make contact, and then when I get there, I get there? I'm just getting a little frustrated.
Sure, I hear you.
Yeah. You know what I would do is I would call them. I would pick up the phone and call and make an introduction. Say who you are and what you're doing, and make sure that you have that down pat, because no one wants to kind of like sit around until you get to the punchline of the joke, right? So basically what there's, people are busy, but if you call and you say, you know, hi, I was looking to host some complimentary updo workshops in the next couple months, you know, would you be interested? And all you need is a yes, and then say, okay, great. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, so can I email you the rest of the information? And then, you know, get their email address, and then you can go ahead and maybe send the email information. But I would also make the email very personalized. So it's, you know, comparatively, it's like applying for a job. You don't send the same cover letter to every job, because not every job is the same. So it's the same concept. You know, you want to personalize that email, mention that you spoke on the phone, and then, you know, put your pitch information per se, you know, put that information in there with what you want to do. The other tip that I can give you too is be very specific, because if you said something like, I'd like to do an updo workshop sometime in January, February, or March, they're going to be like, okay, and you're going to have back and forth to figure out when. So if you say, you know, I would like to do an updo workshop on February 12th or March 16th, which day works better for you, then it will lead them to, okay, I can't do the 16th, but I can do the 12th. How about we do the 12th? Or I'm really interested, but neither one of those days works, and I might be able to work something else out. So what I would do is I would pick up the phone and call them, make a connection via phone, get their email address, email them directly, and then follow up with them with a phone call to make sure that they got your email, you know, if you don't get a response, and just kind of you know, don't be pushy, but I once had a salesperson tell me this, and I always think it's a good thing, is you need to get a no, which means if you get a yes, that's great, but if you get a nothing, they always become a possibility and they take up too much of your time, so you push until you get a no. You know, you get a yes or a no, obviously, an answer. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of address your question?
Yes. I just didn't know how effective – well, that was great information, but then also, is it – any more effective going in face-to-face, but just for now, with the constraints of the holiday and then the weather, I mean, a phone call I feel like is better than nothing. But I kind of felt like I wanted to give my presence to see, so they knew who I was.
Yeah, I mean, the other option, too, is to make that first phone call and then say, would it be okay if I stopped by to drop off the flyer? And then you physically showed up. You know, what you're trying to do with the workshops, they do need to kind of get to know you. You can somewhat mm-hmm. get to know someone, you know, over the phone. But if you're getting a little bit frustrated because you can't physically, you know, get out there and just show up, then do yeah. something. Don't do nothing. You know, nothing's not the option. So do mm-hmm. what you can.
Okay. Great information.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good
okay,
luck.
Awesome.
Thanks.
I will mute your line for your privacy, and we'll go ahead. Let me go back over to the webcast here and see if there are any other people. So if you're on the phone, you would press *2 to raise your hand and get in the queue and ask Jen your question. And if you are online on the webcast, you can go ahead and type your question right into the box right there. And for those of you also who are on the line, you will see right directly on there that there is the ability to connect with Jen. So you'll see to the left of where you logged in for the webcast that you can connect with Jen right there. And for her, what is your direct website, Jen? So if people want to go right to your website, what is your actual URL?
It is somethingcreativemarketing.com.
Okay, so awesome. So if you want to go ahead and check Jen out and learn more about what she does and that sort of thing, you can go directly to her website, which is somethingcreativemarketing.com. I don't think I need to spell that out. Hopefully everyone knows how to spell that. No confusing words in there. And so the question that we have coming in on the webcast right now is how do you go from working with individuals to working with companies, and do you yourself still work with individuals, or do you just strictly work with companies and corporations at this point?
Yeah, good question. So I pretty much transitioned out of working with individuals, except I guess that's the wrong way to put it. I work with individuals in a different capacity. So what I did was I built up my business enough to make connections and to really find where I wanted to go, which was with corporations and big companies, because that's where I found, you know, the best value in what I was doing, and those were the companies that actually really needed what I could provide and would compensate me accordingly. And what I did was I decided that I still had a passion for entrepreneurs. I still had a passion for working with small business owners and, professional women who needed some media training and stuff like that. So what I decided to do was I launched workshops, and I did a boot camp it was actually a year ago, but I'm actually going to be launching a series of those workshops, which are focused on interacting with the media, getting media coverage, understanding how to speak when you are in the media, and how to get quoted and all that fun stuff. So I still found that I wanted to work with those groups, just in a different capacity that was more lucrative for me, and also I could serve the most amount of people. So I guess my advice in terms of like transitioning into working with corporations was it was all through connections. That's the way that it happened. I worked my way up to building a portfolio big enough that, you know, I met the right people, got in with the right names, and was able to give a pitch to larger corporations with exactly what I could provide and why it made sense for them. But again, you know, I still do work with the entrepreneurs and individuals through the workshops, which are, they just make a lot more sense. And coming to a workshop, you can learn so much more than you would, you know, if I were to try to sign you on for a retainer and I could hardly, you know, only give you a couple hours. It wouldn't be as effective.
Okay, awesome. So for someone who's, you know, more as an entrepreneur and they're working more on an individual basis or even in small groups and that sort of thing, let's say they want to start getting into corporations and do lunch and learns or those breakfast, you know, things where they're connecting. And do you recommend, number one, that they do them for free? And number two, how do you get your foot in the door?
Sure. So if you are interested in doing them for free because you just need some visibility and you need to put some names, you know, under your offerings, then do it for free. You know, get in there and do it for free. Now, here's the key, is if you have something of value to offer those businesses, they will invite you to come in, especially if it's free, because they probably don't have huge budgets for that type of stuff, or it's easy for them to say yes because they don't have to go through the budgets. It really just is so important to do your research to find out, you know, if you say, I want to get into Comcast, why? Why do you want to be in a Comcast? And what do you have to offer Comcast? Now, if you feel that, you know, going in for a lunch and learn is going to be something that is really lucrative to their team and you can charge for it, it's always worth it to ask them for money. You know, it's always worth it to try to get compensated. Now, here's kind of a trick for you. If you go in with a pitch and the opportunity to it's kind of like, okay, you give the opportunity, you say, okay, I'm going to come in for a half an hour, you know, for a lunch and learn. You give them just enough. And if that's complimentary, you give them just enough that at the end of the 30 minutes, they're like, oh, I wish we had an hour. And you're like, well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I do these, and I do hour-long sessions. I can send you more information about setting that up. And then that's when you would charge for them. You know, it's that freemium model of you download an app for free, and then when you want other filters for your pictures, you pay for them. You pay a dollar for each one or whatever it is. So it really depends on your business. It depends on what you want to get out of it. If you have charged in the past, well, then don't give away things for free because, you know, unless you really need that business on your resume, don't give it away for free. That's pretty much the advice that I would give you.
And also really utilizing your network, I would imagine, would be something that would be beneficial for folks as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, about getting your foot in the door, for sure. There's always someone that knows someone. So, but here's the thing. If you don't tell people that you need to know someone at Comcast, no one knows that you need to know someone at Comcast. So
yeah, that's so huge. And literally, like, if you're looking to get more speaking presences and that sort of thing, speaking engagements, then, you know, wherever you go, say that you do speaking, that you're, you know, local or international speaker, whatever you say. And again, like Jen just said, I mean, that's so brilliant, is like, you can't expect people to know if you're not willing to tell them, if you're not willing to say to your colleagues or anyone you might have in a mastermind group or just friends or anyone in general, here's what I'm looking for, here's what I'm looking to. If you just sit down and start brainstorming, I mean, it's like the 6 degrees of separation. There's got to be somebody that knows somebody to connect you and get you in the door of wherever you want to go if that's what you're looking to do in expanding your business for the person who wrote this question in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you know, a good way to get people to ask you that question is ask them, hey, what can I do for you? You know, is there anything I can do for you? And they might say, you know what, actually you can. And then they're going to say the same thing back to you. Well, what can I do for you? Actually, you know, I saw on LinkedIn that you're connected to this person. Do you think you can make an introduction? Because I would like this. This is why I would like connection.
Yeah, I mean, you've said that a couple of times throughout in the connection with your tribe. It, you know, whether you're trying to get someone to help you get in your foot in the door somewhere, or just with your tribe in general, is that specific call to action. And I think that's so key here when someone's doing their branding and their marketing is, if you don't have a specific call to action, then your person is sitting there reading this text or this email, or you might be in person talking with someone who you're sort of asking for what, you know, get me in the door of Comcast for the example that you use. But if you don't have a specific, here's what I need specifically, or here's the call to action for my tribe member or my potential client specifically, there's no action that they can take to help you. And so you're left hanging and thinking that whatever you did just failed, when in actuality it was because you didn't have a very focused call to action.
Right. They didn't know what to do. Don't make them guess. Because they won't.
Right. They won't. And don't assume that they'll follow the lead per se. You know, it's really about kind of doing some hand-holding and almost talking to them as though they are in a second grade, you know, mindset. Because for a lot of people, especially, you know, like I said in the beginning, just reading through Jen's bio, this cloud technology, and like, I mean, it almost sounds like you're talking in a foreign language, and I sort of laugh with colleagues when I have these conversations with them, because I think back and I think, you know, gosh, just even 10 years ago, if someone was having this conversation, it would literally sound like Chinese or French or some kind of other foreign language, because we've evolved technology-wise so, so much over just literally even just the past 5 years, if you think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Jen, I am so thrilled and grateful for you to have been on a radio show today. And what I would love to end with is some sort of an inspirational message, because I know that's what you're all about too. And certainly we do see you as a positive force. And we're so grateful for you answering questions and being here and taking the time out of your busy day to just be a presence here and share your expertise. So on behalf of everyone on the radio show today and those who have written in their questions and asked the questions online, please accept our graciousness in having you. And we'd love to hear some sort of an inspirational message before we end up here at the top of the hour.
From me, right? You want an inspirational message from me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say, you know, the best inspirational message I can give you is just do it. Because we often stop and we stop before we get started. And, you know, 2014 is just around the corner. So set that goal and just do it. Just make it happen. Figure out exactly what you want to accomplish and then make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is so short, sweet, and to the point and right on point. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for being a part of our Legendary Leadership Radio Show. And a big thank you to all of the guests who have come on live to be with us as well, and we wish you all a fabulous rest of the day.
Thank you so much.